We'll just cover two verses. Amen. They got school tomorrow, I heard. So they put me on a shorter leash tonight. And so I won't be going as long, hopefully not. And in verse 30 and 31 is what we want to focus on. The Bible says, "And it came to pass while they were in the way that tidings came to David saying, Absalom had slain all the king's sons, and there is not one of them left. Then the king arose, tear his garments, and lay on the earth. And all his servants stood by with their clothes rent." And we'll just stop right there. Father, we pray you add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of your most holy word. Bind the enemy out in every fashion, God, and loose your anointing in Jesus' name, amen. Saints, remember where we are in 2 Samuel. We started off with Amnon lusting after his sister. Amen. Not being able to touch her because of the safety mechanisms, amen, of parental guidance that were in place, that was in place. The Bible says, but Amnon had a friend, Jonadab, and he gave Amnon a plan on how to get Tamar by herself. And so Amnon, amen, embarked upon that plan. He initiated, executed, and he played sick. When he played sick, he knew that David was going to come. And when David came to visit him, his daddy, he told David, listen, the only way I'm going to feel better is if Tamar come and cook for me some of those cakes and the dishes that she make, amen. And so David, being undiscerning in his own stuff, amen, and not really paying attention to his children and what's really going on, David sends Tamar to Amnon's house. But Tamar shows up, she cooks, she bakes, amen, and everything is going well. She goes to give Amnon, amen, some of the food, and he doesn't want it. And he says, put everybody out for me, amen. Send everybody out the house. And everybody goes, but Tamar stays. And Amnon jumps up because he's not sick at all, and he grabs her, takes her by force, and he says, lie with me, my sister. But Tamar is a very godly woman, amen. She's probably the best daughter, the best child that David has. And so she begins to give him a myriad, a litany of different reasons why, amen, her brother should not force her, hallelujah, into this sexual immorality. And part of it was that, listen, Amnon, think about yourself. Not only think about yourself, but think about me. Where shall I go? Amen. And she begins to just break down, speaking to the king. Maybe he'll give me to you. Amen. Let's do this the right way and not do this the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says that Amnon is so filled with lust and so a prisoner of his own desires that he violates Tamar anyway. No reasoning could stop him. Amen. After Tamar is violated, they kick her out. Amen. The house. She takes her coat of many colors. She rips it up. Put sackcloth, ashes upon her head. She cries, amen. And what was going on there was she was exposing Amnon. She just didn't allow him to violate her and go hide in a corner somewhere and while everybody else thinks he's a hero. No, she exposes him, amen, to Jerusalem, to Israel, to her brother Absalom, and also to her dad David, amen. Well, when David hears about it, y'all, David, instead of, hallelujah, vindicating his daughter, coming to her aid and doing justice upon his son, David does absolutely nothing. He gets mad, but he does absolutely nothing. Like a dog with a lot of bark, but no bite. The problem with that is that Absalom is watching. Who's Absalom? Absalom is Tamar's older brother. He's watching. He's watching to see if justice is going to be served. And so when he sees that justice is not served, he tells Tamar, he says, my sister, just stay in my house, amen, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of your business, pretty much is what he's saying, amen. The Bible tells us that Absalom waits 2 full years, amen, saying nothing to Amnon, neither good or bad, amen. And he's just holding all of this hate, this rage, amen, and he's holding it in, not venting it. Hallelujah, giving it too much time, and we talked about that, hallelujah. And one day he comes up when it's sheep shearing time, and he asks David, you know, will you come to the sheep shearing celebration? David is like, nah, you can't support all of the entourage, we can't go. He says, well, hallelujah, knowing that David was about to say no, he said, well, send all the king's sons, but specifically he says, send Amnon, you see, and David, hallelujah, should have picked it up right there. He said, he did for a second. He said, well, why should he go? You see, but Absalom was setting up for murder, premeditated murder. So when Amnon gets there, he tells, Absalom tells his servants, he says, when he gets drunk and his heart is full of wine and merry, I'm going to give you the sign. I'm going to tell you to smite him. Kill him where he stands, dead. Don't worry about nothing. I'm going to protect y'all. I'm commanding y'all. And so just like the plan went, is how it happened. Amnon went over there, got drunk just like they thought he would. You see? And Absalom says, smite him. And he died. The Bible tells us in 29 that when they saw that Amnon was killed, all the other sons of the king, amen, jumped on their mules and they fled. All right? Now we pick up in verse 30. And tonight, I want to talk with you about the title of this message is Whose Report? Can you say that with me? Whose Report? That's right. And I'm going to have 2 points for you tonight. The first point is tidings came to David. And the second point is the king tore his garments. All right. And so remember, what's the title of this message? And those that know their Bible, amen, going to kind of feel where I'm going already. All right. Whose report? So let's begin with our first point. Tidings came to David. And the Bible starts off, saints, and it came to pass while they were in the way. All right. While they, who's they? He's talking about the king's sons. They had just fled from the sheep shearing celebration where a murder happened. And usually, saints, when a king's son murders one of the brothers, he'll usually kill them all. Amen. That happened in the book of Judges. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God with Gideon's sons and Abimelech. And so, hallelujah. As soon as Amnon is murdered, the rest of the king's sons began to try to escape. All right. Now, the first revelation God gave me in this is this. You can't escape on a mule. You know what I'm saying? They just killed somebody, and you trying to get a quick getaway, and you jump on a donkey? A mule? That's just me. It just caught me by surprise. All right, get to the deeper revelation. Well, the deeper revelation is that if God wanted all of David's sons to die on that day, all of them would have died on that day. Because ain't no mule allowed them to escape, John Moe. You know what I'm saying? Amnon could have killed them all. The revelation is, remember, y'all, that God, even in judgment, always remembers mercy. He always does. And he could have taken all of David's sons, amen, and it would have been just and it would have been right, but he didn't, you know. And I just want to tell y'all that we serve a good God, saints, a good God, a very, very good God, a merciful, gracious, loving God, that even when we do wrong and we deserve bad, he rarely gives us all the bad that we deserve. That's why the psalmist says he had not dealt with us according to as our sins deserve. You got to know that and you got to see that about your God in this. Amen. We know this because as humanity, as we have all, amen, become unprofitable to him, as we have all turned our backs upon him, as we have all like sheep gone astray. Amen. Hallelujah. God did not give humanity what humanity deserved. Humanity, mankind as a whole, deserve hell and death. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, even in judgment, because there will be judgment, friends. And judgment will come. But even in judgment, our God will always remember mercy. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. So the Bible says, while they were in the way, that tidings came to David. The word tidings, amen, is the word, the Hebrew word, shemua. Somebody say, shemua. Boy, your Hebrew is getting so good. Shemua. All right. And Shemua means news. Tidings came. News came to David. It means a message. A message came to David. It means a report. A report came to David. Shemua, it means a report. Well, what did the report say that came to David? The report said that Absalom had slain all the king's sons. Oh, God. And if that report wasn't bad enough, look at the B part of the report, and there is not one of them left. Oh, my God. Whose report? Whose report? Right? Shemua, a report. What we have here, y'all, is not just Shemua, a report, but this is actually, hallelujah, not just news, this is bad news. Right? What we have here is not just a message, Shemua, this is a lying message. Right? What we have here in Shemua, that this is just not a false, this is not just a report, this is a false report. Amen? A false report, a lying message, and some bad news. Oh, I got a question for you. Whose report tonight? Oh, come on, somebody. All right. All right. All right. I got a definition for you. I'm going to put this up there. Hallelujah. It's already up there. Praise God. A false report is a message that is, number one, not true. Number two, extremely negative. And number three, comes against the promises of God. That's a false report. That's the definition God gave me, amen, as I looked upon scriptures and I, hallelujah, looked upon my own experiential evidence of people coming in with false reports about my life, amen. It was always something that wasn't true. Or if it was true, it was something that was unusually focused upon the negative things and not the positive things. Or, hallelujah, it was something, even if it was true, and even if it was, hallelujah, focusing on the positive, it was going against the promises that God had given me in my life. It was a report to take my eyes off the covenant promises of God and put them on my situation. A false report. What David gets here, y'all, is a false report. It's a false report. Pastor, why would you say it's a false report? Well, look at our definition. Well, number one, it's not true. Number two, it's extremely negative. And number three, I'm going to show you in a second, but it is completely and totally against the promises that God made to David himself. A false report. You see? I won't tell you about false reports. And I pray that you listen tonight. Listen tonight because, listen, a false report can cause great damage to you, Christian. It can cause great damage to you. Hallelujah. If you allow a false report to come into your life and you receive that bad news and you receive that negativity and you receive that lie that comes against the promises of God on your life, amen. That false report can damage you in a, woo, I'm talking about in a way that you can rarely recover from. It'll damage you. A false report can set you back decades in your life. Oh, I'm trying to preach to you here now. I'm trying to preach to you now. A false report will mess you up. Come in with an untrue, come in with a lie, come in with something that's against the promises of God. One of the greatest false reports that I've witnessed in our Bible, amen, would be in Numbers chapter 13. In Numbers chapter 13, we have the story of Moses. Hallelujah. And he's coming out of Egypt. They had just crossed the Red Sea, amen, and they're moving through the Sinai Peninsula. And they're right on the borders of the Promised Land. Well, any leader, amen, moving upon new terrain, sometimes you're going to send out, amen, a patrolling unit. Hallelujah. The Bible calls them spies. And you're going to send people out before, amen, the larger congregation because you don't want the larger congregation to get hurt. You want to go spy out the land, the terrain, amen, the vegetation that's growing, amen, the people and what kind of cities they're living in, if they're walled, if they're strong, amen. So in Numbers 13, we have Moses calling the 12 spies. 10 of them hallelujah, are from the tribes and their leaders, but two of them represents Caleb, hallelujah, and Joshua. Y'all know the story, all right? And so they go to spy out the land. Now let's read a little bit. Y'all don't mind reading, huh? God says, sanctify me with thy truth. Thy word is true. So even as we just read the word in here, God is scrubbing your soul from dirty stuff that the world put on it. Amen? So let's just read a little bit. But in Numbers 13, 25, the Bible talks about when the spies return. And they return from searching the land. After how long? 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran. Not your Paran, that's just the name of the wilderness. To Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Now, if you know your Bible, God told them it was going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. And in that promised land, the fruit and the vegetation would not grow, hallelujah, like normal fruit and vegetation on the earth. In fact, the Bible tells us that the spies had to put a stick in between one of them, the two of them, one in the front, one in the back, to put the cluster of grapes upon the stick because the cluster was just that big. And so they came back, amen, with evidence that what God had spoken about the land was absolutely true. Let God be true and every man be a liar. And so the Bible says they came back with the fruit of the land. And they told him, Moses, and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely, just like God said, it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Let's go to verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled like Jericho, because Jericho was a part of that thing. The cities are walled, they says, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And if you don't know who Anak is, Anak, amen, represents the giants. Amen. The people that Goliath would come from. Amen. The Anakims. Amen. The giants. Hallelujah. And so they say, there's giants there. There's Jerichos there. In 29, the Amalekites dwell in the land in the south. That's where Hammon comes from. King Agag comes from them. They were the sworn enemies of Israel. The Hittites, the Jebusites who were in Jerusalem, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So they brought back evidence that what God had spoken about the land was true. They saw the promises of God were real. But then they began to bring this negative report. And they focused primarily on the negative here. All they could see was the bad. All they could see were the walls, the giants, the Amalekites. It's a false report because of the negativity. But not only that, it's a false report, amen, because it was a lie. And in verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people. Yo, hush it up, be quiet, Caleb said. And said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Why would Caleb say that? Caleb would say we're able to overcome because if God be for us, who can be against us? We got the promises, baby. And I don't care what negativity you see. Hey, I don't care what giants you see. Because our God is a giant slayer. Our God, giants fall. Giants fall. So Caleb said, let's go possess it. Forget the false report. You see? But they continue not only with the negativity, not only with, hallelujah, robbing, hallelujah, the power from the promises of God. But then they go into exaggeration and lying. 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up a what? A evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants. Now they exaggerate. They saying that the land itself is eating people. right? All of this is important because you're going to meet people that give you false reports that have all of these elements in it. And you're going to have to be discerning to see if it's a lie, to see if it's contrary to the promises and the precepts and the tenets of Scripture, or to see if it's just somebody who's just filled with so much pessimism and negativity. Look what they say in 32. All the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Oh, so everybody's a giant? That's not true. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Really? You was the size of a grasshopper? Really? You see? Listen, saints. The result of this negative report, this evil report, this lying report, had detrimental and devastating effects upon Israel. In fact, they lost a whole generation of people because of this one negative report. If I had time, listen, I would, let's just look at it then. All right? I just got 2 points. Let's just look at it. Let me tell you how God feels when he gives his people a promise, but they choose to believe a lie instead. Let me show you that. That's why I want to read it. Can I show you that? All right. In Numbers 14:22, look what he says. God says this. Because all those men which have seen my glory, you've seen the cloud and the pillar of fire. You've seen my miracles. I split seas in your presence, which I did in Egypt. I rained brimstone and fire, gave 3 dog days, turned the rivers into blood. You've seen what I can do. And now you've tempted me these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their father. You see how detrimental that is? That's telling me that God can have a promise for you. But if you get a false report, a false witness to come and tell you a lie that you can't and you never and you won't, if you accept the false report, you'll never get the promise. Hey! I believe in the spirit. Some of y'all still in the wilderness. Because you got a false report still hanging over you. Something that somebody done told you that you still believe when God done said something to the contrary. Oh, God have mercy. God have mercy. Come on, Pastor, keep going. Don't preach just yet. Keep going. Right? God says, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit. Somebody say another spirit. And had followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now, let me give you another revelation. And the revelation was supposed to be later, but I'm going to give it to you now because I feel the Spirit want me to give it to you now. Realize that more people will follow false reports. Meaning that when you choose to follow God and his promises, you will be in a small group, a minority. Amen? And when people see you stand on the word of God, his promise for your life, all right? And the majority is going with another report, they're going to even get mad at you. They're going to even want to stone you. When you stand on a promise for your business, for your health, for your marriage, for your children, you're just standing on the promise, amen? And they come and tell you it's never going to work, you're never going to succeed, amen? When they see you believe God, amen, expect persecution, all right? And don't you ever doubt God because the majority is going with a false report, all right? Because where we live at, in this earth that we live in, all right? On this earth that we live on, amen? You got to understand, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. And few there be that find it. But wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. This teaches us, John Mark, that more people will not believe God than the people who do believe God. Meaning that out of 12 spies, only two. I'm asking you tonight, which group would you be in? Would you be under the 10 unbelievers? Or would you be in the two believers? Right? Right? This is deep. This is deep when I'm talking about him, right? It applies to us on so many different levels. You see? You see? Look at 32. I'm going to get into it. But as for you, the unbelievers, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. I say you're going to die here. You're going to die in unbelief. You're going to die in the uncomfortable place. You're going to die without the promise because you did not believe the promise. And your children shall wander in the wilderness. How long? 40 years. Isn't that something? That our belief of a false report can even affect our children? These children will go in eventually, but they're going to only go in after 40 years. So you mean my unbelief of God and his promises for me and my prosperity and my health, amen, and my favor and my success, if I don't believe that, it not only set me back, but it set my children back too, hallelujah. And when I could have given them a head start, hallelujah, I start them off in the negative because I don't believe the promises because I'm still in the wilderness. Oh, I'm going to preach it. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to preach it. A false report affects your seed. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of us in here, amen, who come from families who didn't believe the promises. And we got to start off, amen. Bible says a good man, hey God, leave an inheritance for his children's children. I don't know about you, hallelujah. Ain't too many of us was left nothing. Anybody hear me up in here? When a family don't believe the promise, they not left an inheritance. They left a bill. You with me so far? A bill from Sarai, a bill from Kitchen. And that sets the children back. They will wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms. What you did wrong is going to be upon their shoulders. Until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness, after the number of the days in which you search the land, you search the land 40 days. Each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities. So you search the land for 40 days, came back with an evil report, you will wander for 40 years. And ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness, they shall be consumed, and there shall they die. Isn't that something? When we choose to believe somebody more than our God, so they wander for 40 years. After God reads them the well, they say, God, we're going to believe now. We'll fight now. Let's go in the land now. And God said, no, it's too late. Don't go now. Moses said, no, you better not go. He's not with you. Ichabod, God has gone. He's left the building. So they go run up in there in the promised land. We change our mind, God, and they go there without the power, without the promise, without the grace. In the very first battle, the Amalekites just devastate them. Amen. They wander 40 years. They get beaten militarily. And those 10 spies, when you read it in the book of Numbers, God hit the 10 spies with a plague and killed them all. You see? So many Christians, y'all, because of evil reports, do not enter into God's best for their lives. When God says one thing, they believe another. It reminds me, amen, when I felt in my spirit that God was calling me to be an attorney, you see, and go to law school, amen. And we come from a line of hardworking folk, me and my brother, amen. And we don't come from a lot of people that's graduated from college and got degrees, amen, like me and him. And so we don't come from that. And so to aspire to that, amen, is a big thing, amen. And everybody that was around, hallelujah, my dad and around our family, amen, they say, don't go to school for that. You're not made for that. You need to go and try to be, amen, a maintenance man or go clean up somewhere. Because, hallelujah, that's you know, go fix something. Go be this. Go be that. All right? And if I would have listened to that negative report, when I felt that God put a dream in my heart, when I felt that God put a vision in my soul, all right? All right? And it's not just me, all right? You have something that God done placed in you, all right? You like Joseph. God gives dreams. He's the dream giver. And Joseph was given a dream that he would be an authority, that he would have the favor of God, amen? But we got dream stealers, y'all. We got people that come around and they like Joseph brothers, amen? And they like, nah, you ain't going to be nothing. Look at it. And they want to clown you by, look at this dreamer, you know? And they come tell you, Shay, you ain't going to never have this. And you won't ever have your own business. And at that point, we have a choice to make. Whether we're going to believe a lie or whether we're going to believe God and the promise he sowed in our heart. Amen? And I'm telling you, this stuff is not easy. And I'm going to get to it in a second. All right? It's not easy. You think it's easy, but it's not easy. Because we people who are affected by our peers. You think this is only true for second graders and sixth graders? No. We grow older, but we're still subject to peer pressure. And I wonder in here, how many people done let go of dreams? How many people, because of a false report, you're in the wilderness for 40 years right now? You just walk around the same mountain until God say, I'm still in the same place where you left me with the still the same promise and still the same dream. You know, when we was, hallelujah, going to get this building, hallelujah, and I called somebody over to help me, amen, and help me to look at how to structure this place and how much it was going to cost, amen. And we a little church on Pine Street. And a dude get up on the top of the building, he said, man, y'all just need to leave this building alone. He said, y'all can't even afford the air conditions in this building. All right? Which was true. It was true. But a false report is not on, it could be true, but it's totally negative. You understand what I'm saying? And against the promises of God. Yeah, I know what God told me. You know, that he would provide for me. You see? All right? And at that moment, I could have accepted that. And I could have said, let's just stay on Pine Street. We sitting on top of each other. So what? You know? Let's just do our best to just, you know? But you can't believe. Same thing with the school. My wife went over to some of the other Christian schools, amen, and asked them, y'all, okay, how do we set this up? Lady looked my wife in the face and said, whatever you do, don't start a school. Black people not going to come. They not going to pay. They not going to do this. They not going to do that. And it was so negative. My wife came home, amen, she was like, oh, my goodness. Let me tell you about my meeting I had today. But the children of God know how to press through, even though bad news come upon you. Listen, I don't know who I'm talking to up in here tonight. And I just believe it's a rhema word because sometimes you go to get a car, you go to get a house, amen. And everybody going, you know what God done put in your spirit. And people going to come and try to dissuade you and discourage you and just mess you around. And if you're not careful, you're going to be living their vision for your life instead of God's vision for your life. And so you got to be careful with that. Amen. I want to live his vision. Amen. And not somebody else's vision. Right? So we got to be careful. And listen, saints, this can come from any place. Don't just think that false reports come from enemies. No. Oh, no, friends. Oh, no. False reports come from people close to you. I'm talking about a mama that love you will give you a false report. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you a reason why family give false reports. Because of fear. Because of fear. When they see you trying to do something great, they're fearful. They don't want you to fail and hurt your feelings, all right? But we need to get out of that, especially in the Hebrew community, all right? The only time that I fail is when I don't try. Let me try. Let me try. Let me open my own business. Let me shoot for the stars, and if I fail, I might just hit the moon. We got to train our children up. You see what I'm saying? And when they want to be something big, a president, a doctor, we knock them down, all right? We knock them down. We say, no, you don't. You could be a cashier at Eckers. You know, you ain't got to be a doctor. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying nothing wrong with a cashier. But y'all see what I'm saying. Don't ever knock your children down. Don't ever knock people down around you. Listen. I'm talking about parents. Oh, goodness. A spouse? A spouse will kill you. False report? Baby, guess what? We going to open this baby. You ain't going to open nothing. You don't even open your dresser drawer. How you going to open a business? You can't even open a closet. A false report. Friends, siblings, co-workers, it can come from everywhere. But I'm going to tell you the primary source of a false report. You see, the devil is the father of lies. He gives birth to everything that's an untruth in our on our earth. And so he is the orchestrator of false reports. He's the father of lies. And I'm going to tell you why he do it, all right? He does it, hallelujah, because he knows what God has for you. Oh, he knows it, Chancy. He knows, hallelujah, he can see it on you. He's been here for a long time, all right? He can see it on you. He can see right what God has for you. The anointing, the ministry, where you're going to live when your gift make room for you, how your children going to be, what car you're going to drive, hallelujah, how you're going to be blessed. You ain't going to be stressed for this and stressed for that, hallelujah. Hey, you ain't got to worry about it. He see all of that. And he don't want you to walk into your blessings. He don't want you to walk into your season. All right? He come to kill, steal, and destroy. So he bring false reports to do that. You know? I remember Jesus when he was going to the cross. And that was the Father's vision for the Son. That was the plan. And though it was a grisly plan in the beginning, the plan would end off with exaltation like no man would ever be exalted. A name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess to the glory of God our Father. That's the vision, all right? But when Satan saw, amen, Jesus saying, I'm going to the cross, hallelujah, he jumped on Peter. He said, oh, no, Lord, you're not going through the cross. A false report. But when Jesus heard the false report, he spoke straight to the spirit that was orchestrating, producing the false report. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. You see what I'm saying? For thou regardest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. And there's some whisperers in your life. There's some mouthpieces in your life. You know? That's speaking false reports on you, right? Right? And so you come out the false report meeting, and you saying, I guess I can't go to college. I guess I'll never finish my credits and get that degree. You come out of that false report meeting, and you say, I guess I could never own my own business then. You come out that false report meeting, and you say, well, I guess I can't win, hallelujah, that election and that office. I guess I can't. I don't have the money for that. You come out of that false report meeting and you say, well, I guess I'll never be married then because I'm not married now and my friends just, hallelujah, they've been saying this. I guess I got to get used to this. You come out of that false report meeting and you say, oh, I guess that I'll never be healthy. I'll never be healed. I'm going to have to deal with this for the rest of my life. And you come out of that false report meeting and you say, well, I guess I'll never be able to have children. Amen. I guess I'll never be able to be free of this bondage and this addiction. I guess I'll never stop selling drugs. I guess I'll never get a home. I guess I'll never drive a nice car. I guess I'll always be negative in my account. I guess I'll always, hallelujah, be lonely and not have friends. I guess I'll always deal with bipolar and schizophrenia. I guess. Who's reporting? You see? Who's reporting? You see, a false report destroys faith. That's why it's so devastating. It destroys faith. What you mean, Pastor? Well, James says it like this in his epistle, chapter 1, verse 6. When we ask God for something, he says, but let him ask in faith. Look what it says. Nothing waver. And that false report makes you waver. It makes you waver. You know? That's what the devil did to Adam and Eve. Had God said? God only knows that you'll be like a God. And he brings a false report on God's plan for Adam and Eve. The Bible says, amen, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavered is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive what? Anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You see? Watch out for false reports. They try to ruin your faith. The next question that I had was this, Brother Carl. Who told David that all his sons was killed? Who was the one that did that? Huh? And the Bible don't give us a name. I wish it would have told us. I'd have preached a whole message on that one name. All right? You know? But I began to think about that for a second. And it brought some revelation to me, all right? It showed me initially, Christian, be careful when you bring news to people. Be careful when you bring a message, when you bring a report, all right? Whenever you give a report, you got to make sure you have all the facts right, all right? And if you don't know all the facts firsthand, then don't bring no hearsay. Don't you come there talking no false stuff, all right? I can see that person running up to David. Someday heard, I heard all your sons dead. You never saw all my sons die. Philly, don't be like that. If you're going to tell somebody, get the story straight, tell them what you know, and then be quiet. Right? Exodus 23:1. Look what it says here. I love it, y'all. Exodus 23:1 says this. Thou shalt not raise a what? A false report. Don't start no rumors. Don't spread no lies. You see? I always heard, if you don't have nothing good to say, don't say nothing. You understand what I'm saying? The next thing this taught me was this. This is C on the point number one. Understand that some people will like to bring bad news and false reports, all right? You got some people, they love to come and tell you something bad, all right? I'm going to explain the type of person that is, all right? You got them in your life. It's people that really don't like you, all right? They really don't like you. I'm not talking about those that's watching for your back. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the ones that, hallelujah, they come to you, hallelujah, and they want something bad to happen to you, all right? Because to them, your life is too blessed. You got a good husband. You got a good job. You got a good nice car, amen. You're in a good church, amen. You're in leadership, amen. Everything looks like it's going great. And some people can't stand that. They can't stand it, all right? They can't stand it, you know? They got some haters out there, y'all. You know? And favor make people mad, y'all. Because here y'all come out the very same hood. Woo! Go to the same school. Anybody hear me up in here? Y'all, I mean, they taught y'all how to tie y'all shoe together. But some kind of way, woo, the Lord done found you. And you're saved and you're blessed and you're blessed all over. All right? And sometimes haters can't take the favor on your life. And they wait for something bad to happen. You know what I'm saying? And they come and tell you bad news with a smile on their face. You ever had somebody do that? You know what I'm saying? They come to you and say, ooh, girl, I just saw your car in the parking lot, and they done hit your car. And then they catch themselves. Oh, they, I mean. I'm trying to tell you, there are going to be some people in your life. Look, it could be sisters, cousins. You see what I'm saying? People close to you that watch how blessed you are and just can't understand because they know where you stand and what you're living by, and they know that the blessings of the Lord make it rich, and they know all of that. And they're not into God, but they waiting for it to fall apart on you, you know? And as soon as they see something negative, they're going to run them to you, you know? Girl, I saw your husband. Girl, I saw your husband. A false report. A false report. Girl, I heard they were laying off at your job. You see? You got to watch out for people like that. Now, really, when you got somebody who like to bring false reports, you really want to stay away from them. You really don't want to be around them and stuff like that. That'd be the first one to hear about your church and come with some old thing. You heard, girl, you heard? Because they know you love your church. Nehemiah saw people like that. He saw them a mile away, y'all. And in Nehemiah chapter 6, amen, they try to come upon Nehemiah like that. You see? And one of them was this guy, Shemaiah. You see, I don't have time to read it all. But the Bible tells us, amen, that he came to Nehemiah. He said, Nehemiah, let us meet together in the house of the Lord. And let us shut the doors of the temple. For they will come to slay thee, Nehemiah. You're building the wall. You're blessing God's people. They're going to kill you, Nehemiah. In the night, they're going to come to kill you. And Nehemiah, you need to come and you need to lock yourself in the temple with me. You see? And Nehemiah says, should such a man as I flee, run? Who is there being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Verse 12. And lo, Nehemiah says, I perceive, say it with me, I perceive that God had not sent him. It was somebody with a report that was not from God. Telling Nehemiah, go hide because they come and kill you. It was a false report. It was an evil report. And later on, you'll find that this person was hired to do that. I think about our people, the Hebrews, yo. And I think about, amen, how God, amen, is waking us up. And I think about the promises he had for us. And I think about all the false reports that you're going to hear. I think about how when you ride through the neighborhoods and you're going to see us as a people, all messed up, still living in the projects, still hustling and selling drugs. You're going to get the news out of Chicago of all the murders and the killings, amen, and all that stuff that's going on. You got to understand that all of that is intentional, amen. It's a false report to rob your faith, amen. You like, hallelujah, how Ezekiel looking at a valley of dry bones, extremely dry and extremely scattered. But what you got to do is ask the Lord, can these dry bones live? Amen. Don't let false reports, amen. And what we want to do, hallelujah, in our people, don't let false reports rob that from you. And don't you be afraid because of the enormity of the task. Don't you look at our people and see the condition we're in and say that we can't do it. You're going to be like the 10 spies instead of like Joshua and Caleb. You're going to be like the rest of Israel's army who was scared when Goliath came. Or I'm challenging you to be like a David and come in the valley with the sling and the stone. I'm asking you, who report you going to believe tonight? Don't you be like that. Don't worry about how it look on paper. Don't worry about what the majority of the people say. From what I hear in my Bible, one man in God is the majority. You don't need nobody else. It was just David. It was just David. It was just Caleb and Joshua. Yeah, my friends. There's going to be some haters out there. And they're going to be people that love to bring an evil report. Even in Nehemiah, people who paid to bring an evil report, sent to bring an evil report, infiltrators, hallelujah, snuck in amongst us, unaware to bring evil reports, to try to stop the promise of God that he's spoken over us. I come tell you, like Moses, I come tell you, as the generation that was leaving out of slavery of Egypt, I come to you asking you whose report you're going to believe. But before you answer that question, be careful. Because if you believe the wrong report, you're going to die off in the wilderness. You're not going to enter into the blessings and the promises. You won't get and reap all the promises of Israel. I'm coming to you real right now. Listen to me. Listen to me. Believe. Believe. You see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the promises of God are activated by faith. You thinking you're the head and not the tail will never be activated unless you believe you're part of the people, hallelujah, that the promise was spoken to. Oh, God, have mercy. I'm going to move on. Second point. Pastor, that was all your first point? Yeah. Second point, it's going to go fast. Look what it says. It says that the king tore his garments. Then the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. The Bible says that when King David heard the report that he did what? He arose and tore his garments. Not only did David tear his garments, but also all his servants that stood by with him tore their garments too. I got two things I want to tell you about that just pop up in my head. One of them I don't even have on my notes, so I better say it before I forget it. All right? Whenever you get a false report, you better get corroboration and confirmation on that. Anybody hear me, man? All right? They just came to David and told David his bad news, all your sons dead. David believed and began to tear his clothes. He never got a second opinion. Boy, that sounds like you going to the doctor and them telling you something bad, huh? Huh? And you just believe that. You just receive that. Like doctors don't make mistakes. You see? All I'm saying is when you get a false report, sometimes you need a second. No, all the time, you better get yourself a second opinion. And David didn't get a second opinion. Here's the other thing, all right? The king arose and tore his garments. What else this teaches us? This teaches us that people are more prone to believe a false report than a true report. Anybody hear me? Let me say it again. We are more prone to believe bad news then we ought to believe good news. All right? Pastor, what you mean by that? Well, I'm going to corroborate that in Scripture in Psalm 52:3. I'm going to put it in the NLT so you can understand it. Look what it says. Bible talks about mankind. You love evil more than good and lies more than truth. That's us naturally. Some people get more upset with you telling them the truth then you lying to them. All right? Romans 1:25 in a more modern text. Look what it says. It says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Meaning that God gave them a truth and put it in their hand, and they say, Minister Doug, they said, nah, I don't want the truth. Can I have a lie? Can I have a big fat lie? I don't want the truth about me and my destiny and what I'm called to do. Go ahead, give me a lie. You see? I don't want the truth of God, that I'm supposed to own a business. And I'm supposed to, amen, hallelujah, have this hallelujah, this barbershop that's a citywide barbershop. I don't want to hear the truth of God that I'm supposed to go to dentist school and have my own business. I don't want to hear the truth of God that I'm supposed to be, hallelujah, a business owner that can, hallelujah, not flip drugs, but flip money, amen. Hallelujah, and buy wholesale products and move furniture. Hallelujah, sell and buy a car. I don't want to hear that truth of God. I'd rather the lie from Hollywood and from media that I can sell crack and heroin and legal and drugs. They exchange the truth of God for a lie. And I'm telling you here that what we see in David, the rapidity, the quickness of him just hearing about all his sons died and just tearing his clothes without no confirmation, without no second opinion. You know, I want to ask you, do you enjoy bad news? Do you rather talk about negative things? Are you a pessimist? Would you rather say the glass is half empty instead of saying it's half full? Do you walk in the house and tell your husband, we always going to live here and we never going to be blessed? Do you walk in and tell your wife that you're always going to be in pain and you're always going to be sick? Do you walk in and tell your spouse that our marriage is never going to work? Do you come in and say, hallelujah, we never going to be able to afford this car? You see? And sometimes our people love it so, y'all. We need deliverance from that. Why, Pastor? Listen to me. And I know I'm just going off. Might be because I'm hungry, but I'm going off. All right? Just try to focus on the spirit of what I'm saying. All right? There are two reports in our world. Just two. There's God's report for your life, and there's Satan's report. That's the only two reports they really are. That's it. That's all we have. That's all we have, saints. You know? And all I'm asking you tonight, amen, is whose report you going to believe? All right? Because just like God has a plan for your life, the devil has a plan for your life too. Amen? Hallelujah. Just like God says in Jeremiah, I know the thoughts, the plans I think towards you. Plans to bless you. To cause you no harm, let no evil come upon you. Amen. To give you a hope, a future, and an expected end. That's God's plans for you. Amen. He says, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. I've spoken these things that your joy may be full. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. I'm going to give you a peace that passeth understanding. No stress, no nervous breakdowns, no need for medication, amen. I have a plan for you. I have a plan for you. A plan to provide for you, a plan to bless you, a plan that your body might be in good health and your soul, and you might prosper just as your soul is prospering. Some plans for you. But the devil got a portfolio for you too. To steal all of God's plans. To kill all of God's plans. And to destroy all of God's plans. It's up to us whether we're going to allow him to do that. The Israelites coming out of Egypt allowed the devil to put them on hold for 40 years. How many people tired of being on hold tonight? answer in the spirit for you. Amen. It's to recognize the false reports. To not believe the false reports. And to hang upon the promise of Almighty God. Let me get to the end of this right here. You see, David should have knew that this was a lie right off the bat. All right? He should have known that it was a lie, amen, because it was in contradiction, direct contradiction to what God had promised him and told him a few chapters earlier. Oh, you're with me, Sabrina. You see, David wanted to build God a temple. He said, David, but you're not going to build me a temple. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, he tell David, he said, David, listen, you're not going to build me a temple. Hallelujah. A son, one of your sons. And he, hallelujah, goes in specifics. He says, listen, hallelujah, I'm going to set up a seed after you. He said, a son out of your own bowels, out of your own body. It won't be a stepson. It won't be an adopted son. It's going to be a biological son out of your own body. David. That, hallelujah, I will set up and I'm going to establish his kingdom. Look at the next verse David says. God says to David, he shall build a house for my name. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom. How long? Forever. Now listen to me good. God told David that one of David's sons would build him, God, a house. All right? And somebody from the lineage of David, who we know now is the Messiah, Yahshua, Jesus the Christ, would come from David's lineage, his pedigree, and sit on the throne forever. This is what we call the Davidic covenant. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? David, you have the Davidic covenant. They come in and tell you, Misha, they come and tell David, all your sons dead. David should have immediately said, the devil is a liar. All right? All right? Why? Why is the devil a liar? The devil is a liar because God had said that one of my sons would build God a house. How can all my sons be dead when God done promised me one of them would build a house? Let God be true and every man a liar. You see the power of a promise. You see the promise? The power, DJ, of a promise. A promise will take you a long way, baby. When you ain't got no food in the refrigerator, when the bills are due, amen, when they calling for that stuff, if you got a promise, ooh, God, it don't matter what the bill collector's saying. When you come in that room with that doctor and he come in there with that old report about what you have and how long you're going to live. A promise. The doctor say, our report says, and you pull out that Bible, you say, yeah, doc, but my report says. All right. We're going to have opportunities in life to make a decision to believe a situation or to believe a promise, to believe circumstances or to believe a promise, to believe a sickness in our body or to believe a promise, to believe the age of our body, Abraham, hoped against hope, the Bible says, after his body was dead, but he staggered not at the promise, Romans says. He staggered not at the promise. Knowing that God, who calleth those things that are not as though they were. No, David. Don't believe the false report. Don't tear your garments and don't weep. I love Isaiah 53:1. God starts off this famous chapter. The Godhead says, who had believed our report? That's what God says. Who had believed our report? You see, tonight, beyond the promises of health and provision and peace and joy, beyond those promises, there's even a bigger promise that God has made to you. The promise is, though we are all sinners, though we all deserve death, and though we all deserve hell, hallelujah, the promise is that God would become a man, clothe himself in human flesh, come on down to our earth, obey those commandments that we could not fulfill perfectly, be betrayed into the hands of Pontius Pilate, whipped on his back, spit in his face, punched in the face, put on a cross, pierced with a spear in his side, and that he would die, expire on the cross of Calvary. Now, the devil's report would tell us when he died, it was over. Ooh. But I thank God that there's another report out there. Amen? I thank God for that. Because the devil reports say he died and he stayed dead. But God reports tells us that on the third day, hallelujah, on the third day he rose with all power and with all might. That's God's report. And his report tells us that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord in faith, believing in his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, that no matter how bad our criminal and sinful record is in the high court of heaven, when we believe in the Messiah, hallelujah, hallelujah, all of our sins can be forgiven. Though our sins were red as scarlet, they can be washed white as snow. That's God's report for your life. That by grace you can be saved through faith. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, God, Jesus Christ, died for the ungodly. That whosoever has the Son has eternal life. That our God would give power to all those who believe to become sons and daughters of God. That is his report for us tonight. And beyond every other report that we've covered, beyond every other report, this is the report I need you to believe. For the devil's report would be to come to you and for you to think of God as he's not like a loving God. For you to think of God like he don't care for you. For you to think of God as though you were a sinner and you're going to bust hell wide open and God never made no arrangements to rescue you. But the devil is a liar tonight. And once again, like your health, like your prosperity, like your peace and your success and your family, once again I ask you, Philadelphia, whose report shall you believe? Don't believe a false report. Don't believe an evil report. Believe God's report about you. And the first way to enter in the report, amen, is to be saved. And go ahead and admit you're a sinner to God and believe in Jesus Christ and everything that I talked about his life, death, and burial and resurrection. And then you confess him out with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Saints of God, David, unfortunately, believed a bad report. My prayer for you is that you would not do the same. Come on, give God some glory in this house. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much, God, for your word. Hallelujah. We praise you, O King. We give you glory. I pray, God, that you would make the most out of this sermon, Lord God. I pray that you would take it and apply it to the lives of your people and show them, King, where false reports are getting in to erode their faith in your promises. And Father, I pray that you would increase our faith, that you would build us up, O King. We do pray that you would help us to believe you in all of your promises. And Father, if there's any not here, not any in here who may not be saved, we pray you save them tonight according to the gospel that was preached. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah. Come on and stand with me, saints. We're going to pray. Hallelujah. And then we're going to do the benediction. If you're here tonight, I want you to pray with me. Say, Lord, thank you for loving me. I admit I've sinned against you. And I'm sorry. But tonight, I choose to believe your report. I believe you died on the cross for all my sins. I believe you were buried in the grave. And I believe that you rose from the dead. Lord, save me, a sinner, and use me and fill me and give me faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May he